Hello, it is the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast, episode number 127. It is your pals Mario and Brian. Mario, what's up?
Not much. I'm still on the creaky seat, as you can hear. You'll hear it throughout the podcast, but it kills me every time I sit on it. I'm happy to be back podcasting, but I notice it more now that I haven't been, you know, for the week that break that we had.
Yeah, we took a little bit over a week, but we had initially
creaky.
Not too bad.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. We had initially teased that we were going to have a guest on, and we had two people in mind, but unfortunately, you know, summer, man, things happen. That's part of the reason why we love winter so much, is that people are more honest and more on time and more punctual. And in the summer, people get all like, hey, man, I got something coming up. I got to go to the beach. I got to do this. And that's kind of what happened. So
it's just human nature. It's like, you know, summer comes and people are like, well, summer happens, like shit happens. And then winter comes and like, winter happens, ski happens.
We're on top of stuff. So, yeah, so as you can see, it's just the two of us again. But we do promise that over the next few weeks, we do promise the next few weeks we will have some additional guests and some interviews. We already have them scheduled and really looking forward to them.
I dare say, en fuego, we're going to have like freaking, this is going to be like, I'm not going to tease it out. I'm just going to say we're going to have some fucking great guests from like some news organizations, some fucking build out people.
We got people from all over from different avenues of life that all kind of have a similar ski bond.
That's right.
So it's going to be fun. So
I had a friend like that I talked to before. That motherfucker might get bumped.
Wow. That's bold. That is bold.
Just saying, buddy, if you're hearing it right now, I talked to you before saying you're solid in there. Like, you could get bumped. Just saying.
Yeah.
You're on deck.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. You can check us out. More information, skibumpodcast.com. We're on all the socials, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast. We're on SoundCloud as highfalutin-skibum and on Pinterest as the Highfalutins. How's our pin game going?
Pin game is a little light these days, but I think I hit it up about 2 weeks ago. So
we need a pin turn.
We need a pin turn. I think we need a pin turn, a face turn. We need a bunch of turns.
Wow, that would be awesome.
If anybody would like to be our social turn,
we need a social media intern big time. And like, we should be on Snapchat, but I'm too old and too stupid to know how to use it, so I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon.
They do it just to fuck with you. Because I actually learned how to do Snapchat, and I'm just like, I just don't want to deal with it. Like, I got fucking other stuff to do.
Yeah. So.
And then there's people that want to Snapchat stuff that I don't want to see. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. It's crazy how Snapchat changed so much from initially being like, just like dick and butt pics. And then became like a real thing, and like other
still a lot of digging pup pics.
I'm sure there's plenty, but like that was like the initial entire like business model.
Our business model is to have a lot of digging butt pics and
it's gonna be pretty cool. Like, we should be worth like, I think we've got a valuation of like $5 billion. Pretty sweet.
That's right. Yeah. $5 billion. If it was only dick pics, it would only be $2 billion. But we get dick and butt pics and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, tremendous butt pics. Hugest butt pics.
Huge. Yeah, they did it bigly.
If you're interested in an unpaid social media internship, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, and put in the subject line.
Not unpaid. They get the value of having the ability to be part of
the revolution.
Revolution that we are about to inspire.
The skiing revolution that we are cultivating and catalyzing. Is catalyzing a word?
That's a great word. I like that. I'm going to use that in my next big presentation. I'm going to do the wild arms and I'm going to do the catalyzing.
Perfect.
And I'm going to look at people like they're cattle. Catalyzing. I'm going to do the Michael Scott. I'm going to do like bigly, like great, like bigly, and then with the arms, and then I'm going to Michael Scott them into cattle.
That's the move.
And dumb it down. I'm going to bring it up and then dumb it down.
Indeed.
I think that's how I should do it.
Well, before you do that, why don't we start off?
It's time for Opre today.
I played today. I don't know. I've played a lot today.
Oh, we can tell. I assure you.
Dude, I put that on socials. I was like, yeah, I am operating before the podcast. I was ready. I was searching for this podcast.
I think it's almost like the app crunk today.
That's right. Woo woo. Dude, this is the opre train coming through. Woo woo. All right, so I started out with a whole lot of should we start? All right, I'm gonna just say like what I start out with. So I start out with a highlight, which is Cigar City, which is freaking phenomenal, but you can find it everywhere here. Then I got home and I was like, you know what? Let me go sip a sunshine. Boom, sip a sunshine. I went from one IPA that was awesome to another IPA that was even more awesome.
Those are both pretty heavy IPAs too.
I gotta say, it was probably not that great of a choice to go for three highlights before having the sip of sunshine.
You had three highlights?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Christ.
This total is honesty. Is a safe space? Yeah, I did.
Full disclosure.
So now I'm going back to like a porter style. So I'm having the Mikkeller vanilla shake. Beer Geek. Mikkeller Beer Geek vanilla shake.
Ooh. That sounds like almost like a dessert.
It's an American double imperial stout. It tastes like a dessert rolled up in a bottle. Like if I had a piece of chocolate cake, chuck it right in there. It's got a little coffee, a little vanilla, and a little stout, and a little bit of oatmeal. So the fact that they call it an oatmeal stout, I think it's healthier.
Like, oh, definitely.
In my mind, it's healthy.
It's got all kinds of fiber in there.
It's like oatmeal, yeah. Right?
Yeah, right. Oatmeal's healthy for some reason, right?
I think I could have this for breakfast.
Well, that's why there's breakfast stout. That's the whole point, right?
I might want to put this in the fridge and just put it like for breakfast tomorrow.
Who makes that again?
Mikkeller. Mikkeller. They're actually highly rated and they're out of Denmark. So they're a Denmarkian crew.
Denmartian?
Well, you know, I was hoping Denmark would go to the freaking World Cup finals.
Oh my God. Game. Dude, is there anyone on the planet that had France and Croatia in their bracket? Like, there's no way. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some random one that had it.
That shootout with Denmark was great. And today I was thinking about World Cup and I was like, you know, fuck that. I'm going for Denmark right now. So I'm still drinking that Denmark's in.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Croatia versus France. Denmark. I mean, in theory, you know, based on what I was saying the last couple of weeks about how I was choosing my teams, whether based on who has better skiing, which country, France obviously has the better skiing, but I can't root for the French. Can I? I would say like, this is like my worst year of sports ever. Like every team that I hate is winning stuff.
Yeah.
The freaking Eagles, the Capitals, you know, like down Eagles. France.
I keep forgetting that the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Really?
I know. It's terrible.
So anyway, Denmark, this is a tribute to Denmark. Who's the goalkeeper?
Schmeichel.
So
that was awesome.
I'm not making that name up, but it's Schmeichel. Michael Spencer. Real name, Schmeichel. That dude was freaking awesome. I tell you what, that was a great game.
I was just thinking of that one Rick and Morty where they had the interdimensional cable,
and they had
the newscaster, and then the guy with the cooking show, and it was like the conjoined twins, Michael and Pykel.
Yeah. See, nobody's gonna get that unless they watch Rick and Morty. Like, you gotta rock with it. Like, they had the Gonad one the other day, the time Gonad cop, like. I could just say that people are like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Dude, other people are like, what are you talking about?
They got renewed for 70 more episodes.
Shit, yeah, they should have.
I mean, it's not coming out for a couple of years, but
still great.
Oh, it's so good.
Dude, that's going to be like South Park or freaking Family Guy. It's going to be on forever.
I hope so.
My whole problem is now that I have cable again, and it's just basic cable. I'm not getting fancy cable because I don't pay for cable. I'll pay for it. I'm like watching the, there's like every night there's like an Office marathon and a Family Guy marathon. I'm like, I fell asleep to like Stewie saying some stuff. I'm like, I got to shut this off, man. I started to freak up dreams, man.
Nice.
But anyway, right. Here's to you, Schmeichel.
Schmeichel and Peichel.
Schmeichel and Peichel.
So I'm unofficially declaring this the month of Treehouse for me because what? This is the second podcast in a row.
You're spending your life in the treehouse.
I've had a treehouse beer. Last week, I posted online on Instagram, you know, showing like, oh, I got either doppelganger or green. Which one should I have? And people said green. So I had green.
Green.
And I drank my doppelganger a couple, like last week. But a friend of mine went up.
You drank your doppelganger.
Drank my, how gangster would that be, right?
That's like killing your other twin.
Seriously. So a buddy of mine, he went up to Treehouse. So I was able to get more Treehouse beers. So today I am drinking Alter Ego.
Boom.
And Alter Ego is Julius's twin brother, apparently.
Julius is good.
It builds upon Julius with juicy citrus and tropical fruit flavors and aromas as a result of an intense mosaic and Amarillo dry hop.
Mm. My mouth is watering. You just talk about Julius.
Alter Ego is the result of our uncompromising dedication to fresh, progressive, and delightful beer. Mm. So this is it's just floral, delicious, hoppy yumminess when you smell it.
Is it any relation to Orange Julius?
It's stepson. So they're sort of related, but not.
So you can't even talk because you're drinking it because it's so good. Once it hits your lips.
It's really just smooth and flavorful and just very citrusy. I'm getting a little bit of that tropical they're talking about. It's just, you just want to like lay down in a bath full of it and just drink it until you hopefully wake up.
That's what I'm thinking about right now. Thinking about Schmeichel.
Schmeichel.
Just lay down in a bath. Just drink it up.
Get your Schmeichel on.
Get your Schmeichel on.
So yeah, if you can get your hands on this bad boy, I highly recommend it.
That's what they said about Schmeichel.
That's right. All right, so we got a couple of stories here while we're still in the après section. And first one is from our friends over at Unofficial Networks. They have...
This is great.
So we've talked about it in the past, the different drinking games. You know, obviously the one that we're big fans of. Oh my God, what the hell is it called again? Galinda Quaffing.
Quaffing. It's the Quaffing. Galinda Quaffing.
So this one is called Stump.
Stump.
Now, this is not a game I'm familiar with because I tend to be a little antisocial sometimes. So I don't know if I have enough people that want to do this with me. But this one's a little bit weird and a little bit awesome at the same time. Now, this game was originally devised from a German game known as Hammerschlagen.
Everybody knows Hammerschlagen.
It's played with a stump. Like a tree stump.
Yes.
Hammer, nails, and lots of beer.
Have you ever seen that? They played that. We were playing that in Austria. And it was fucking terrifying but awesome. So you basically have one shot at the nail. So you have a stump and you have a nail. And you like hold the hammer next to it. And you can line it up. And then you just fucking hit one time. And then you pass the hammer. And the one that has it all the way in wins. And I tell you what, people are sitting there like, I'm going to make up and just fucking jam in their finger. It's horrible. It could be horrible.
Yeah, so the winner is the person whose nail does not get driven in.
No, this one, the way they were playing was the nail that gets driven in last was the winner.
Right, so yours is the last one remaining.
Yes, yours is the last one remaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying that there's a bunch of, you know, there's obviously different places have different rules, but
it's great. And you go to a bar and there's like, you know, nice regular bar that you see and a fucking tree stump in the middle. You're like, what's going on? Like, it's just a big ass log that people roll in. Like, here you go. There's your tree stump. Get some nail.
And somehow they've modified this. I don't know what the official differences between Hammerschlagen and Stump is. but there are official rules at worldstump.com. If you do want to check it out.
Wait, Stump is your, isn't the first one to be driven in? Your survives, right?
Your survives and you win, yeah.
Okay, Hammer's logging, yours goes in. You are the first one driven in. Do you try to hit it in as hard as you can? Your nail. You don't touch anybody else's.
Oh.
Okay. So it's the opposite of Hammerschlagen.
Maybe I'm reading these rules wrong then.
So is Hammerschlagen spelled backwards stump?
Not exactly.
What would that be backwards? Stammerhaglen?
Here it says the winner is the last player whose nail remains standing.
Last remains standing.
So here's the rules. Each player in turn shall toss the hammer such that it makes at least one full 360 degree rotation before he touches it again. The rule of the player shall not be allowed more than one toss per turn for any reason. Once the hammer is caught, by the player shall attempt to bring it down immediately and without hesitation upon an opponent's nail, driving it into the stump. Any attempt at cocking or aiming the hammer shall be considered foul play and subject to criticism. The standard toss is a backflip such that the hammer flips claw first. However, all non-standard tosses are acceptable and encouraged, provided the toss does not violate rules 1 and 2. Non-standard tosses are often referred to as tricks. If the trick includes a double toss, it must remain a continuous motion and should not be an attempt to gain better control after a subpar first toss.
Depends where you're off. There's always the Cleveland double toss.
So you got to chuck the hammer, catch it, and then slam someone else's nail in without like aiming.
Right, man.
This sounds like absolute fucking chaos.
You got hammers and nails and fucking shit going on while people are hammered.
Yeah.
You got the Cleveland double toss. Telling them it's going to have them.
Oh my God, I love this. The King's Hammer, also known as Sledge Stump or Thor's Hammer. This is a variation in which one player is allowed to use an oversized hammer. It's just a small sledgehammer.
Awesome. Be like, no, leave him. He's allowed.
Yeah.
He's allowed to do that. Grab like freaking. Awesome. Like a demo hammer, just fucking plow right there.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Glorious. So there you go. This was on Unofficial Networks. Hey, you know what? With ski season coming up, you got to find all the entertainment you can.
Well, this is a ski time pastime thing. I mean, what do you do when it's snowing like crazy and it's nighttime and you've already skied? What do you do?
You want to get to bed. Yeah.
Play a little stump.
Play a little stump.
Let's stump up before we go to bed, you know?
Stump it up.
Pray and do this. Perfect opera game.
Nice. All right.
All right, so next up.
Your neck of the woods.
Yeah, so next up in Florida, there are some museum. Well, there's a museum that teams up with a few breweries that is creating art-inspired brew. So in St. Petersburg, there's the Dali Museum, which is the most fucked up thing because I'm like, Salvador Dali, I can understand having something in Spain, but like the biggest like gallery to him, like dedicated to him and like funded and like it's a really big deal in the US is down in St. Pete, Florida. So it's kind of wild. So there's a big art community down there and the Museum of Fine Arts is actually partnering it with a few breweries. And what they're doing is they're saying they have a few ancient mosaics from the Antioch that they are going to use to inspire some brews. So they came across this. It's kind of weird. Like they came across it, I guess, like somebody was talking about like what they had and somebody had a brewery that was like, that's pretty cool. I'd like to, you know, look at these mosaics and like kind of come up with a theme. So they're actually brewing beer to go with the theme of the art. And what they're doing is, so they're going to include a pale ale by Green Bench Brewing Company, which Green Bench is pretty good. A Saison by Rat Brewing Company. Don't know theirs. A Somme beer by Flying Boat and a Wheat beer by Three Daughters. And Three Daughters makes a freaking awesome beer. It's a wheat beer that I've had out on the beach. And I tell you what, I don't like wheat beer. It's freaking awesome. Happened here. But so they actually took the inspiration from the Mosaics and they're brewing some beers. So this is going to be cool. We'll see how this actually works. So the day one project, they're saying from Gourds to Growlers, Homebrewers Night. And then they're having a whole bunch of events to like kind of go with that. So I want to see that where this weighs out, because eventually it's going to end up in some good beers being brewed for no freaking reason, which I like.
That's very cool, yeah.
As long as Pitbull is not there, we may have an not the Budweiser brewery.
Like, well, he is a true artiste.
True artiste. That if you want to get craft brew, now he's crafting that thing.
Dolly. Yes.
Crafting it, Dolly, whatever you want.
Beautiful. So are you gonna try to check out this event?
Yeah, I want to see what's going on because you know this is going on for a little while, so they're saying, you know, July 19th, which is next week. I may try to get in there.
Nice.
So we'll see if I petition them. We'll see if they really respect the full force of the Highfalutin Ski Bum backing that we have. Highfalutinskibum.com.
Well, I know what a big ski town St. Petersburg, Florida is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they travel. It's
one of the biggest ski clubs in the nation is in Florida.
That is true.
Same. You care about your beer and you care about your skin. Just saying.
Nice.
Let's get into the Ginjula.
And we're going to start off, as we usually do, with Frank's Bean of the Week.
Interesting now, bean this week, huh?
Frank got a little creative this week. And I like this.
I like this, where Frank's going with this. He's got his head on a swivel.
Yeah, you know, it's summertime and, you know, perhaps you don't want to actually go and smoke some cannabis this week. You don't want to do any vaping. Maybe.
And it's almost Amazon Day.
Prime Day,
yeah.
Maybe you just want to have a piece of toast and have some weed butter on it.
Why not?
Or pancakes or Belgian waffles. Dude, or regular waffles.
Who doesn't want to have waffles with some butter on it?
Wake and bake without smoke. So Frank's Bean of the Week this week is actually the Magical Butter MB2E butter making machine.
It's awesome.
Yes. And this is just widely available. You can just get it on Amazon, which is
modern. This is a modern model.
Unfortunately, it is not eligible for Prime, but
what?
You can extract nutrients and flavor them from your own favorite herbs. You can
infuse. I like when I do that with basil.
You know, I'm a big fan of sage. So now
Rosemary.
You can
use
parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. So you can now infuse all your favorite herbs into butter, olive oil, peanut oil, corn oil, sunflower oil, coconut oil, canola oil, and tincture.
What if I'm allergic to peanut? You don't have to make that peanut oil.
You're going to learn today.
Learn today.
Yes. This is available on Amazon, and we are going to have the link on the show notes. But this is a pretty neat, it's just like an extraction device. So you can put your favorite herbs in there and make your own specialty butter.
Yeah, this looks fucking awesome. Because I tell you what, you look online of like how to extract everything from your rosemary, and I tell you what, it's like, it's a lot of work. So this makes it a little bit easier.
Yes.
You want to extract that basil butter. It makes it better.
Just absolutely saying. Delicious, right? Yeah. And there's also a video how to make magical tincture.
What?
And this is pretty crazy because this uses 1 ounce of your favorite botanicals. And
my favorite botanicals.
And 2 to 5 cups of Everclear grain alcohol.
I love Everclear. I haven't had Everclear since I was in North Carolina. Just saying. And in college.
Yeah, right.
About the same time I was drinking a lot of Mad Dog and Death Old English.
Yes. So this is, you can make your own liquid extract of your favorite botanicals. So
we might drink nitrate in that period.
You could make nitrate infused butter if you'd really want to. This tool is available.
How many people listen to this thing? I want to hear if you have drank nitrate or Old English. I want to know what you drank and if you drank. Because I'll tell you what, I want to know what your favorite flavor.
What's your favorite après malt liquor? That's what we want to know.
If you want Thunderbird's good too. I drank that. Damn, that's a good flavor.
It's good stuff, right?
At the time, it was actually pretty good. Now, I would probably actually projectile vomit if I...
Wouldn't it be awesome if somehow, like, Lawson's and, like, Mad Dog teamed up?
Lawson's Finest Strawberry Hill.
Right? Or, like, Boone's Farm and, like, The Alchemist.
That'd be awesome. They bought them out. Like Alchemist buys out Boone's Farm.
Like, Strawberry Topper.
Oh, my God. Hold the phones. Alchemist is buying Boone's Farm.
Why not, right? There's been so many crazy collaborations already. Why not go and make that happen too, right?
Guns N' Roses has a freaking song about it. The Night Train, man.
That's right.
We're called the Night Train.
Yep.
Who's not? All right, so let's move into New York. New York emergency rules. Okay, medical marijuana as an opioid alternative. So in a move announced this afternoon, New York State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker filed emergency regulations. Ooh, heavy-handed emergency regulations, adding any condition for which an opioid could be described as qualifying for a condition for medical marijuana. Hell yeah, bro. My knee really hurts. I need some American marijuana, is the same. So plans for the new rule were announced last month, but today's news means that the condition qualifies for medical marijuana immediately, ASAP. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are on opioids for a condition which an opioid is prescribed, you should run out and get some medical marijuana right now. That's what I'm saying. You knock on a door, you get a trash can, throw it through a window, whatever you got to do.
It's pretty amazing that they made this bold of a statement and this bold of a move this quickly.
Well, you know what's messed up to me is everybody's making these moves, and it's like everybody is making the moves because it should be legal. And the people that are like at the last step of like carrying it to like the Senate or making it legal are just like dicking around. Like,
yeah. It's we're all just kind of twiddling our thumbs to legalization because we know it's going to happen, but it is good seeing these, lawmakers at least acknowledging that this is a legit medical, what do you want to call it?
Tool,
drug. I mean, it's something that does have medical purposes because many people are like saying that, it doesn't have any medical benefits. Oh, really? Dr. Chris Christie? It doesn't?
You've got your medical degree? Krispy Kreme.
I didn't realize Dunkin' Donuts gave out freaking medical degrees these days.
Exactly where I got his degree from.
You get an MD at the DD. That's how you do it here.
Got a double D degree.
Yeah. So this is nice to see. So before we do have full legalization, it's nice seeing that this is happening. Because again, we're going to look back at this in 50 years and just look how insane and comical our society was for keeping this illegal for so long. So this is good to see.
Here's something that's really pretty fucked up too. So I'm watching TV today and they're talking on one of the stations that I was cruising through that I don't often watch, but like make fun of sometimes. And they're talking about a vaccine that will help, I think it was heroin. People addicted to heroin not receive the benefit. So I guess they give you an injection and you don't have the feeling of the high that the heroin gives you. So they're saying like, well, this could apply for all opioids and blah, blah, blah. So pretty much like if you take an opioid and you have this you know, they're calling it a, what do we call the, some injection for it. So, you take the injection and basically you don't get any benefit from having it. So then you wouldn't do it. So that makes sense. So you don't get any high from having opioids. So they're actually promoting this as like, wow, you know, this is coming out in the next 10 years. I'm like, you're really stretching right now just to keep the pharmaceuticals going for opioids rather than weed. So
yeah, right.
It's just like, they're just, it's, there's a lot of shit coming out.
Yeah, we're going to see where this is going to take us, but it is nice seeing that we are moving in the right direction at least.
Yeah, they're stressing for like opioids. They're like, and I'm like, you know what? Why? How many years have opioids been like prescribed? Right? Been like 10, 20, at 30,
least,
50 at least years.
15, 20 years, right?
And you don't think that they didn't have like something that would suppress the high from the opioids a long time ago? They're just getting into this research? I mean, come on. It's bullshit. If they haven't gotten to the research till just now, why haven't they? Like, why haven't they ever looked at it? It's just like the cigarette companies. It's just like everything else that like everybody's demonizing now. Same goddamn thing.
Want to make their money first, yeah.
Joe Camel and an opioid, man. Might as well.
Yeah.
Might as well let us smoke up and fucking take some opioids. Why not? Have an opioid then. Cool with me.
4 out of 5 doctors prescribe opioids. Look at like the commercials for like cigarettes, you know, that's what it was too. Like 4 out of 5 doctors choose Winston's. You know, the Flintstones. The commercial with the Flintstones, like smoking Winston cigarettes.
Well, here's the thing. If you were to just label everything that has opioids in it as opium derivative. So if it's opium, it's opium. If it's opium derivative, say opium derivative. If you were to say, oh, why don't you take these opium derivatives? Wouldn't you be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, opium is bad. Like, yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of labeling, too. They're like, oh, why don't you take, like, Hammerschlemmer? This will be great for your pecker. It'll be great. Why don't you take starter wood? This will be great for your erections and, you know, your back suppression of, like, your pain management. You know, it's just like they label these drugs like some fucking obscure name. But if they actually said, no, this is opioid 2, opioid 3, opioid, people would be like, wait a minute, I'm taking an opioid? A lot of times they don't even know they're taking it.
Yeah,
I guarantee you.
Fancy name.
Yeah, 9 out of 10, they're like, well, doctor gave me some other bullshit, you know, it was oxy something. It sounded pretty good. It's like OxyClean, right? It's like oxy, you know, the oxy stuff that I put in my laundry. No, it's fucking OxyContin. It's fucking an opium.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go to an opium den? Just go to your local opium den. Here's a prescription for 2 hits off of that little pipe.
Oof.
That's what they should do.
Yeah. Way a lot cheaper.
Right from the tea to the mom. And then you'd know what you're getting. Truth and labeling. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we need.
If you knew what you were getting, you wouldn't be hooked on opioids to begin with.
Truth in labeling and campaign finance reform.
Okay. So I got a prescription. Go down to the corner. There's an opium den right next to the laundromat. Walk past the hookers. Don't get jacked while you go there. Have 2 hits. That's what I wrote the prescription for. And then just come back. Do that twice a day.
There you go.
I got to say about 80% of the people, 80, maybe 90% of the people are going to be like, fuck that. I'm out.
Yeah, right.
I'm walking with a hitch. How about that? Taking a little Advil.
Let's go to Ski News.
And of course, it is summer, but we do always have some interesting stuff going on in the ski world. And this
especially
is
actually, up in Jersey.
This is actually taking place in Jersey, and talked and joked about this first indoor ski area in the Americas to open in New Jersey.
Get out of fucking town!
The American Dream, New Jersey, announced that it will open the Western Hemisphere's first indoor ski area, Big Snow America, in March of 2019.
All right, so hold on a sec. So it didn't open yet. They're just saying it's gonna. I heard a lot of stuff is gonna open in that place. That whole place was gonna open
in 2008.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, it is going to be 16 stories high, 180,000 square feet, and open 365 days a year.
It will AKA feature. It's gonna be bigly.
It'll feature a 800-foot ski slope as well as an ice climbing wall. And then surrounding it will be the shops at Big Snow, a variety of alpine-related retail shops, such as equipment rentals, après bars, and outerwear.
So that translated to me as it's going to be bigly, and it's going to be the most fantastic indoor ski resort that you've ever gone to.
Pretty much. Now, I wonder if this is going to lead to some... like Olympic skiers coming from this area. I wonder if it's even possible with this 800-foot slope. If you can ski all year long, you know?
I think you should. What does
this mean? For practicing and, I want to reach out to these people and see if we can get like a sneak peek, like maybe before they open, a little trial run.
I think you should, because I know everybody, Derek, was telling us about some stuff about how there was an organization that was trying to run, that runs ski training, that was trying to run this place. But I don't know if they got the bid or not, but I'm wondering, are they going to be focused on running training, or are they going to just be like, fun, come on out here, and then close to people doing photo shoots? Because there's a lot of celebrity ski and board athletes that are going to be in New York for like just meetings and stuff. So,
you know, the first couple of weeks, they're going to be, probably just full of celebrities and,
And us, we're going to be probably podcasting from there. You know,
that would be really cool. I think they need us to do that. I mean, as a New Jersey based ski podcast, I think that would be foolish not to have us as part of the opening ceremonies.
I think they would be pretty dumb not to have it, but I'm just spitballing out there. But I think they should maybe reach out, or we'll reach out to them, or reach around, whatever happens.
We'll have their people talk to our people.
Yeah. We'll figure something out. But I think I would love to ski there, honestly, without anybody else on there, of course.
Good luck with that.
No, I think it's great if it really opens. But
yes.
I'm going to take this with a grain of salt, because that whole place is supposed to be open for about 10 years now.
2008, it was supposed to open, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of tax money that was supposed to be like spent on opening it. And, no harm to the current owners, but I'm just saying, stuff that was promised was pretty lofty.
Yep. So we'll keep our ears open and see if it actually opens when it is intended to.
All right. Next up, we have the Hermitage Club. The Hermitage Club season auction off at Sawmill Farm. So in New England, Saddleback Mountain in Maine, the owner, prospective owner of Saddleback Mountain, was arrested in Australia of charges of fraud stemming from investments in a program similar to the EB-5, which fucked the J-Peak.
Yep.
So he got caught up, and they are defaulted on a loan, so they're offering it up as an auction right now. So on June 25th, the Hermitage Club in Haystack Mountain, following a default mortgage payment, went up for auction. So a lot of allegations. Oh God, it's so orange.
That guy is very orange.
Oh my God, I can't look away.
I mean, he's the CEO of the Hermitage Club. I would expect him to be very orange.
I'm thinking Hermit Crab every time I look at him. Like, Mr. Crab, he's so red. So they're saying like it got foreclosed and blah, 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 and Deerfield Regional Hermitage Properties. So bottom line is, this is still in flux, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm thinking we could probably scoop this up. This is where I like where you're going with this. We could scoop this up for about
$20,000. Take it or leave it.
They're saying, well, they defaulted on $16.6 million. I'm saying we started about $5 million with investor money of about $6 million. And then we make this deal happen. What do you think?
I'm in.
I think somebody wants to back us. I'm actually pushing for Roger Federer because he's number one. I think I want to see his money back in this. I want to see a Swiss Vermont ski ride. What do I want?
I like it.
And you know what would be great if they only took Swiss francs? You had to like convert your money when you walked in. That'd be awesome. Just to fuck everybody.
Yeah, so this guy has this Jim Barnes, this orange gentleman. He looks like he has got in trouble like by a whistleblower suit and then other sexual harassment and discrimination.
Dude, that's got to be so fake because that is too orange.
He's very orange.
I don't think that's humanly possible, man. Even for like a fake tan. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, this whole Hermitage Club is the most ridiculous thing ever. For what they charge to become a member and ski there on like a pretty mediocre mountain, it's insane.
Don't they have one at Mount Snow?
This is the one right down the road from it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's horrible. I forget what it costs, but it's absolutely stupid. You could fly out to Utah like three times for the price of going up there.
It's just so ridiculous. They have their own lift. They actually have access to Mount Snow, don't they? From a lift or something, or they used to, or.
No, I don't know about that, but I know it's like down the street from Mount Snow, this place.
Yeah.
Now, on a very positive, happy summer ski note, it is almost DPS dream time.
Boom.
This happens every year, and it's always a very exciting time. Starting July 16th, which this should probably be coming out on the 13th, you will be able to go online and purchase some sweet DPS skis. So this year, they've got a couple of special offerings. They have the, let's see, what is it? The Powderworks Whaler 110 and a Powderworks Lotus 138 Spoon.
Mm, 138.
In addition, they have the Whaler A112. The Whaler A106, the Special Edition Yvette A112, and the Zelda A106.
So the thing about the EPS, that's underfoot. So the freaking shovel in the front is gigantic.
Well, the Lotus 138 Spoon, it kind of tapers down and narrows out at the tip.
Oh, does it?
That one does. But the Whaler, yeah, has like a fatter tip. As do the other ones, the Yvette and the Zelda.
I think you have 99s, and I think it's like 120 something at like on the shovel. It's
yeah, the gigantic. Lotus one's really funky shaped. Mm. But it's 138 underfoot.
Dang.
And then it kind of like widens, and then the tip gets a little more narrow. They also have some special pure carbon Alchemist, the Alchemist collection. The Cassier and the Ushi.
So you come with some heavy copper. Is it chin?
You would think, right?
Damn it. That
but I don't awesome. Think it does. Yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of heady topper ski out there somewhere. I'm sure maybe the folks at Parlor made it back in the day.
I think we made one at Parlor. That's what I'm saying. We're aboard. That'd be great.
Yeah. So Ooh. It is DPS dream time. Get ready. Best time of the year to buy some DPS skis and get some really killer deals on there, and they have a lot of different sizes, widths, lengths to choose from. So if you're looking to make that happen, you can go to dpsskis.com, find out what you need, and boom, make it happen.
Cool. All right, next up we got some recall. So if you have a transceiver from Ortovox, they're recalling the Recall 3 Plus. They're saying it fails to work properly due to a software error and fails to transmit the position of survivors of an avalanche. resulting in delayed search and rescue options.
So basically, it does nothing that the transponder is supposed to do.
Fails to transmit the position. Are you fucking kidding me? That's what it's supposed to do.
It's so, like this car is in recall because it doesn't drive, move, turn.
There's no safety concerns. It just does not do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So luckily, there's no injuries or incidents reported. So they're doing recall. And you can actually log on or go to, like, it was sold at outdoor specialty stores. There's a press release, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But bottom line is go contact them. There's a consumer hotline, and you can get information to report that product. And they're doing a recall. So you can switch it out. They will fix it up in a jiff. We're in summer right now, so it's a good time to do it.
That's so crazy. Like, and now what are people who don't listen to this podcast going to do? Like, how are they going to get informed about this recall?
I don't know. You know, some products, they like you sign up for like some bullshit, like, oh yeah, I want the software updates or whatever. I've actually gotten contacted because I signed up for some registration of some bullshit. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want it. But I was like, ah, whatever. I was drunk or something like that. So I just signed up. I was like, let me register my product. And actually, I received emails like years later, like, what? I still have that? I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, so
it's like my iPod Nano has been recalled.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice to sign up for that stuff and maybe get an alert. But if not, then if you're doing backcountry, I don't know. I think I'm going to skim the internet to see, make sure my transceiver is ready for the next level.
This is another reason why it's important to listen to this podcast, because we provide all kinds of valuable information.
Exactly. I want to ask, like, so I was texting Infamously Jones before, and he was saying something about backcountry. I'm like, wow. So I got to get my gear ready. Like, you got to get your gear ready now, man.
Now's the time. Yes. Prepare now. So when the season comes, you can go and make it happen right away.
Yeah. You don't want to screw around later.
That's right. On the mountain. You want to screw around now.
Well, you can't be the guy that screws around on the mountain, because then you're like holding everybody else up. Then
you can get yourself into real trouble too.
Then you're that guy. You're like, fucking guy. That guy. You don't want to be that guy.
Don't be that guy. So we talked about this, I think it was last week or possibly the week before, that the Maple Valley ski area in Vermont had recently been purchased.
Nice.
And now it looks like, now this has been closed since 2000, and it was announced on May 23rd that it was purchased for $745,000 by the Sugar Mountain Holding Company. They're saying that part of the reason, or part of the way they're going to fund this mountain, is they may be putting up a brewery at the resort.
Nice.
Because it is very expensive.
Sounds all weird. Maple Valley and the Sugar Mountain. It just sounds maple sugar.
There's a lot of sweet things going on there. Yeah.
You get a little sausage, like a little breakfast sausage in there. Maple sugar sausage. I'm going there for breakfast.
Well, they're talking about in the article too, like how it's a lot harder for a smaller ski area to be successful. So they're trying to have different, you know, different ways, or, you know, different things that can bring in money to help them to, you know, stay afloat. And they said one of the things they might do is actually have a distillery as well. So a brewery and distillery at the resort.
Nice. I mean,
obviously, they're going to have to, you know, get the permits to make this happen. They said it's possible that they could be doing it there at the mountain.
That's sweet.
Which, that would be, imagine having like really awesome beer made at the mountain. I mean, that's going to bring people to the place. You know, if you had like a craft beer, like a Heady Topper-ish beer that was made at the mountain, do you know how many people you'd come to have ski there?
Yeah, where is the snowbird like beer? I don't get that. I'm just saying.
Right?
Maybe I want it.
So this is going to be cool to see how this plays out, but I hope that the folks at Maple Valley can make this happen. That would be great.
I like the maple sugar joining that we can make happen.
Yeah.
Could happen. All right. So next up, grass skis are just like what they sound like, kind of. So TGR put out that they are practice skiing with skis with rollers on grass, and it looks freaking terrifying, but awesome. I gotta say, they have a picture of somebody slalom skiing, and they are probably flying down. And I'm like, it is all grass, but it's messed up.
Like, imagine hitting a rock with those things.
Oh man, that
suck.
Well, they're all bundled up, which is bad for the summer, but yeah, I guess they're still going. And
it's almost like a giant rollerblade with like 10 wheels, right?
Oh, it's crazy. I've seen people do it on pavement, but this is doing it on grass. That's, I guess, pretty well. You know, if anybody's been to a golf course, you see the green area and like the way they can manicure grass. But they're saying if you want to keep the ski muscles intact for the winter season while still getting the same downhill adrenaline, you should look into a pair of skis that are fully functional on grass. Just be prepared to look stupid while doing it. So they actually said it's like ski blading on wheels.
I just couldn't imagine if you hit like a hole or a rock or a varmint, perhaps a rattlesnake.
Just run over that shit. Just blow that shit down. You know what I hear? I hear nothing. All I hear is boom. I don't hear anything behind me.
Yeah.
What is behind me does not matter. That's what it comes down to.
Just mow them down.
Mow them down, man.
That is pretty funky.
That's cool.
It'll be cool to try, though. That's for sure.
Do they have those in snow blades? Because that's what I want.
Those are roller blades, pretty much. Just use those on the mountain.
Snow blade every day. Wow, there's another song that goes like that. It's not snow blade every day.
So well, there you go.
There you have it.
And that wraps up the ski news for the week. So now we're going to get into our main topic.
And what is our main topic, Brian?
Well, we kind of threw this together just because we saw a lot of interesting stories that were regarding health, you know, regarding nutrition. And we thought we'd put it together since it is the off season and it's really easy to let this off season get away from you. You know, you're going to parties, celebrating.
So let this get away.
Yeah. And then you look at, you're like, oh my God, it's friggin' Labor Day. And I got to start getting myself back into shape so I could be in prime ski mode.
I'm so, like 800 pounds. Like, what are you doing, man?
It's still early enough now that, you know, you can do some things. You can tweak your regimen to get yourself at least in the right, going in the right direction to get you ready for ski.
Or twerk, whichever you like, whichever you prefer. You twerk it too.
We're just going to leave that out there in the ether.
Well, if you snowblade, you usually twerk. You know, you don't tweak.
There you go.
Skateboard and tweaks. So snowblading twerks.
Yeah. So first up, we have from AIM Adventure University, the Ultimate Ski Fitness Workout. Now, this was Ski Magazine and the U.S. Ski Team combined have come up with this plan. And now this is something you have to pay for. It's a little bit expensive.
What?
It's an 8-week program. And each week, they have different cardio and strength workouts, yoga sessions, and nutrition lessons. So Monday, strength, Tuesday, cardio, Wednesday, yoga, Thursday, strength, Friday, nutrition, Saturday, steady state cardio, and then you have Sunday as a rest day. So this is a plan you can purchase. It says $189, but there is a free course preview. So this, if you're serious, this is a great way to try a bunch of different exercises, a bunch of different programs to get you ready for the season.
Awesome. All right. So next up, carbs are killing us. Who doesn't know this? Now all these studies are coming out. Carbs.
Dude, there's so many fat people. I think a lot of people don't know this.
Wow.
A lot of people are so used to like hearing saturated fat is bad for you. Eggs are bad for you. We've been told so many different things over our lifetimes.
We've been told so many goddamn things. Coffee's bad for you. Oh, no. Coffee's good for you. Wine's bad for you. Wine's good for you. Fucking eggs are great for you. Eggs are bad for you. Like, wow.
Remember the food pyramid? It's all backwards.
That food pyramid is the wrong direction at this point.
But how many people learned that shit when they were like in like third grade and have thought that way the whole time, their entire life, and now they're like 300 pounds?
Yeah, and it's horrible. Like, you know, it's kind of a slippery slope. Like, how do you make one pyramid for everybody? Bottom line is everybody's body's different. Carbohydrates are not the answer for anybody. And we generally like ingest more carbs than anything else in this world. Like, I'm drinking a beer right now. You know what that is? It's all carbs, and it's not even the carbs. It's what it metabolizes to. So my mom still to this day is like, oh no, you want to eat natural? Like, you know, you're on the diabetic scale. Why don't you eat some fruit? I'm like, mom, that fruit is the fucking worst thing I could eat. It's like sugar. No, but it's natural. I'm like, no, it converts to sugar. Like me having a beer, beer converts to sugar. I mean, it's horrible. But, you know, at least you can know how much damage you're doing to your body. So I think it's important for people to know. Like, if you choose to smoke, if you choose to like eat cheeseburgers every day, have wings for lunch every day, like go right ahead, do what you got to do. But as long as you know how everything works, I think that's where we're better as a people.
So this talks about how for decades, doctors and nutritionists prescribed low-fat diets to people trying to lower their risk of heart disease. Saturated fats in meats and dairy products were thought to clog our arteries. Grains, especially whole ones, were thought to help everything from cholesterol to digestion. But now they're showing that this is all incorrect. Mm. Like, it's all wrong, everything they told us. They said limiting carbohydrates rather than fat is a sure way to decrease the risk of heart disease. An analysis of more than a dozen studies published in the British Journal of Nutrition found that patients on low-carb diets had healthier body weights and cardiovascular systems than those on conventional low-fat diets.
So let's put this in perspective for everybody, because I have an opinion on this, because I know people that have gone to extreme diets. And I'm like, I won't name any names of a diet, but I'm like, if you do no carbs, it's great. You're going to lose a lot of weight after like 3 weeks, and you're going to feel miserable because while you think it's great to eat cheese and bacon every day, after the third week, you're like, this is really fucked up and I want to eat a carb. So low carb doesn't mean no carb. So it's kind of like, let's put things in perspective. I mean, I just think, I don't know, everybody should eat everything in moderation. You should drink, eat, whatever you want to do in moderation, and I think most people will be okay. But
yeah, if you can dial back, you know, the pastas, the breads as much as possible, it will be beneficial. But yeah, I mean, to go on one of those diets that's so extreme, where like they have that carnivore diet some people are on now, where it's all just meat all the time.
Yeah, that's not good.
It doesn't seem like it would be, right?
That's not, yes.
Some people have great results from it, but I don't, you know, everyone is different as well, but it seems a little extreme.
Well, results today doesn't mean like happiness. Well, it doesn't mean, okay.
Long-term health, yeah.
Results doesn't mean happiness. And then long-term, short-term results does not mean long-term results. So I don't know. Think about it this way. If I told you you would live till 100 years old, but you would never ski again, how would you do that?
Then I would not truly be living.
Exactly. So there's something to be said for people that smoke and eat bacon and do whatever the fuck they want to do, because they're living their life to the fullest. You know, they're doing the big fuck you to everybody else that's saying you should do this, you shouldn't do that. Because honestly, I think at this point we realize what we know is that we don't know what we think we know.
Yeah, very true.
There's people, and you know, you don't know what you don't know. There's people don't know exactly. That's all I'm saying.
So, sort of on the same lines, and something that's relevant to us as skiers, which means we're athletes. That this is from Outdoor Magazine, and it talks about what your brain, like this is called, this is your brain on exercise. And it talks about how that a lot of, you know, researchers now are starting to study what effects exercise has on the brain. And lots of research is coming back saying that your brain works better after exercise. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out exactly why that is. And it says that aerobic exercise. It says aerobic exercise appears to lead to changes in both the structure of the brain and the way it operates, which together bolster learning in kids, give adults an edge on cognitive tasks, and protect against the cognitive declines that often come with age.
So actually into that, I'm actually reading a book right now. Reading, when I say reading, I mean on Audible. I don't read because I can't. I was never taught how to read. So my mom would fucking kill me. So I'm reading a book called Why Is My Brain Working? Isn't My Brain Working? And what it's talking about is exactly that. They're talking about you know, the cognitive function of your brain, the lobes, and what affects it. Because, like, you know, you think that you're having problems with your gut flora, you know, like your continence or whatever. And it's actually sometimes could be related to your brain and like stuff like that. So it's kind of like, then it affects your mood, it affects your ability to concentrate. Like there's a lot like tied up into that. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. And one of the things that this article talks about is saying that your brain can actually become younger. And the studies were done in both animals and humans, suggesting that exercise sparks the production of growth factors that nourish new neurons and help existing cells survive. Budding neural cells also need more nutrients as they grow. And animal studies suggest that exercise promotes the release of other growth factors that promote blood vessel growth, which could deliver those nutrients.
All right. So Brian, if you think about how we're built as humans, right? Do you think we're supposed to like do shit or not do shit?
Well, we are animals and every other animal on the planet has to move around and do things. Otherwise they will get eaten.
Exactly. Or they will just like die, just sit down and die. Like, I don't know. You got to move around. You should be like a shark every day. Can't sit still.
Just sitting around on a desk all day is really you just slowly killing yourself.
Every time I sit at the desk, I'm thinking like, I'm just waiting to fucking snap out at somebody. That's what I do, man.
Not a good thing.
Waiting to snap. For those of you that like me, there's a Lone Star tick out in the parts of Texas that if it bites you, it triggers a red meat allergy. Now this is fucked up because number one, I grew up on Long Island. Everybody's talking about deer tick disease. You're going to fucking die from like high grass and ticks. So I'm a little sensitive to ticks. Now this thing fucking freaks me out because I'll tell you what, they're saying this Rocky Mountain spotted fever was one of the big things that started people on ticks, right? And Lyme disease. And I know people that have Lyme disease that have had like degenerative like problems from it. Pretty fucked up. Like I didn't think it was a big deal. And I was like, well, tick bite you. It's a big deal. There is this Lone Star tick, and they're saying it goes all the way from Maine all the way down to Texas. And the reason they call it the Lone Star tick, it has a little symbol on its back that looks like a little Lone Star State kind of thing. And what happens is they're saying it bites you, and the symptoms of it biting you are not unlike peanut or shellfish allergy. People have the same kind of allergy to red meat. So think about sitting that in Texas. Well, this is why it got like the Lone Star tag and like a big plane. You're in Texas, you get bit by this thing, you don't have any stake. You're in Texas, you have a stake. The hell's wrong with you, boy? You know, just saying. Or girl. I don't know.
It's really strange. So they said they're not really sure what the cause is of this.
Yeah, which is messed up. So when a tick bites you, they don't know if it's what the tick bites you with or if it's carrying something. So if it's local, like, it's pretty messed up. So they're saying this tick can bite you and make you allergic to red meat.
That seems absolutely horrible.
Boom. How you like that, chicken boy?
Turning into a vegan, pretty much.
Boom, Mr. Chicken.
Eat this.
Boom, Mr. Turkey. Mr. Turkey Chicken. Mr. Vegan. How you like that, vegetable man?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, this is pretty terrible. Ticks are like the grossest, most awful creatures on the planet.
Have you ever gotten a tick out?
On like an animal.
Oh, you never gotten a tick out of yourself?
No, I don't think so, no.
They are little sons of bitches. I had one on my arm one time. Holy shit. Like, I remember my mom telling me, like, don't pull it out because if you leave the legs in, they'll actually grow more ticks.
That's so fucking gross.
And you know what? It's true. They will regenerate a fucking tick out of, like, a little arm. So you leave that little tick arm in there, like, that's great, motherfucker.
That's all we need.
You know what? I have your blood. I'm going to still generate another goddamn tick from it. So that one, once that tick is generated, that's your tick, man. That's the Brian tick walking around saying, that's right. I live on Brian juice.
That's so goddamn gross.
Fucking horrible. It's terrifying, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking terrifying. And they don't want to let go. So there's a few ways to kill them. One is you burn them. So people are like, oh, yeah, I don't smoke. And they're sitting there like, fucking... That's where when people used to smoke, they're like, oh, yeah, can you burn a stick off of me? Like,
right. Awesome, yeah.
There's always somebody like within 10 feet smoke, and you're like, hey, can you burn this off?
Good old days.
Yeah, I'm inside the house. There's somebody smoking. Fucking boom, right out of that. Or you put it under like fucking Vaseline, and you wait for the tick to let go because it's like suffocating. And then you like pick it up, and then you torture it and let it die.
Just nice.
Fucking hate those ticks.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Oh, God damn it.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of things to think about, you know, health-wise this summer that, you know, you can do and make sure you're on top of to help prepare you for ski season. But there's a couple workouts.
Maybe get to the gym, right?
Yeah, you gotta do your exercise, cardio, strength. You got to watch out for carbs. You want to... You know, get your brain fired up by doing those exercises, and also watch out for those Lone Star ticks, and you'll be more than halfway there.
Right, you're gonna be able to eat some meat, touch your toes, and ski around the mountain.
That's right,
for the whole day.
Namaste.
Without dying, just
it's a beautiful thing. So, if you have any other tips for things that you have been helping you this summer to get you ready for ski season, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com.
Did you say ticks or tips?
Tips.
Under the ropes.
First off, footage shows French gangster escaping from prison in a helicopter as it emerges. Crooks scouted the jail using drones months beforehand.
What?
Did you see this footage?
No, I gotta see the footage.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. Like, all these, like, all the inmates are like cheering as he's like escaping.
That'd be great. Like, he's escaping, they're like, oh yeah, and all of a sudden it's like,
well, they were like
magnificent or some shit.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, like, magnificent escape, like, well done. Like, they were so impressed with him.
Bunch of dummies.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My first thought, and I think I tweeted this out or something, and it was liked by a few ski organizations. I was like, well, is it possible that this guy just really wanted to go hell skiing and they just wanted to take him out of there? You know, like, it's like, listen, we're a hell skiing operation. We will pick you up from anywhere, even prison.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, he just wanted to go up to Chamonix, you know, hit up the glacier.
Nice.
That's possible. That was my first thought when I heard about a helicopter breaking someone out of prison. He just wanted to go heli skiing. Right?
I got a lot of fucking thoughts on that. I'm gonna come to those. That's fucked up, man. I think you should go helicopter. Just yeah. Oh yeah. Were the inmates cheering when they heard the poof? Awesome.
Yep.
That would be my question. Were they like, yay, poof? That means he escaped? Didn't escape? Like, what happened?
He got out.
Got out, man.
The key is to have two helicopters and have one get blown down, like shot down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So a teen died and they embalmed him. And they decided to honor him by putting him in a position where his corpse was positioned facing a television screen and a video game controller in his hand. So Renard Matthews, 18, of New Orleans, was robbed and shot to death on June 25th while walking his dog. Pretty fucked up. I really feel bad for everybody. That's messed up. I actually want to know if they found the dude that robbed him and shot him. But what's more disturbing is that he was described as a nice young man, played football, blah, 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 all this other stuff. They embalmed him and put him sitting in a chair, which is messed up. You think the dude is like alive. He's like sitting in a chair and they have a picture of him. Wearing an Irving jersey and sunglasses with a PlayStation controller in his hand. So,
yeah, that picture is really creepy. Like, is this like a new thing now that they're doing? Like, extreme embalming? Like, this is what we're going to be able to look forward to when we go to someone's wake? They're going to look like they're doing the things they loved?
That's very fucked up. You know what I want to know is, are the Celtics giving some money? Are Doritos giving some money? And is PlayStation giving a lot of money? Because that's all I see
right now. Some free advertising is what they're getting.
All I see is product placement. Boom.
Could you imagine if one of our fans died and they said they put in their will, they want to have some extreme embalming of them with their ski gear, with their headphones on, with the Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast, podcast always playing?
I could imagine that. I really could imagine that.
I'm surprised we haven't heard of more of it already.
I think that's the next. This is the next generation, bro. This is blowing my mind, man.
I like how he has his Doritos and his Barks root beer next to him.
Yeah. So you don't realize, like, they put him in a driverless car and like he was driving around for like 2 days. I'm joking. That would be awesome, right? Fucking. Just throw him in a goddamn car. Like, let him drive around. Like, let him get Uber for a while. It's like a driverless car. That'd be fucking great, man. You get him bombed and then you make like a fucking paycheck.
So this article talks about other extreme embalming. This is like a thing this particular funeral home does.
Yeah. Like, I didn't look at the other extreme embalming I started looking at. It was disturbing. Like, I can't even. No dude sitting at a table. I'm like, I can't even deal with it. Fucked up, man.
There was this one, like, 53-year-old lady they said they embalmed. And she's described by her loved ones as a party girl who loved beer and scotch. When I walked in, I feel like I was in her house and I didn't hurt so much. That's what someone of the her sister said when she saw this. So, like, do they just stay there? Like, what do they do with the person then? Like, is it almost like a Madame Tussauds of dead people?
You know what they do is they walk around like fucking Weekend at Bernie's with these people. Like, this is walking around town. Like, is this person really alive? Like, if I was working in the bar, like, are you alive? Can you say something to me? Like, can you move your arms? Like, without anybody holding you? You fucked up. I don't trust any goddamn person.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Pretty messed up.
So how do you want to go, man? What are you going to do? We're going to, like, dress you up, drag you around town, like, drag you behind a car? What are you doing?
I don't know. I got to think about it a little bit more.
Drag you around my car, just, like, beep the horn, but, like, beep, beep, like, fucking woo.
I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. Might be kind of cool to have, to kind of prop my body up on skis and launch me off a cliff.
Oh, fucking sweet, dude. With Jackson some, like, Hall, with man. Some, like,
with some like fireworks attached to it, you know, like
fuck right next to you. I'd be like, woo, I'll do the Daffy right next to you, but like, what's up, motherfucker? It's
off a cliff to have it like explode.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I'll hold the like the little exploder button, but like
the detonator.
Yeah. Great. Send the body over. Let's fucking detonate. Let's light this bitch up. Brian's live. Brian's live. Everybody, Brian's live. Suppose that you have a call signs and shit. Like, yeah. Everybody's out of the area. Brian's live.
So light, speaking of death, we got another death story coming up here. YouTube stars killed in waterfall accident.
What?
Yes. So two daredevil YouTube stars went over the edge of a Canadian waterfall trying to save one of their girlfriends, and all three died.
I saw these idiots.
Oof.
Off with that, really?
Best buddies Riker Gamble and Alexi Liak, who were part of the channel, the High on Life channel, were swimming at the top of Shannon Falls in British Columbia when Liak's girlfriend Megan,
you know why they died?
Oh, she got when girlfriend. Oh, there's with Laika's girlfriend Megan Scraper. Scraper got caught in a strong current near the edge and plummeted over, dropping 98 feet below.
You know why they died? They died because they were pushing it too much, man.
I guess they said Laika was trying to keep her from going over the edge. He went over too. The bystanders told the Squamish Search and Rescue.
Squamish.
Gamble.
I know that place.
Yeah. Gamble also took the fatal plunge when he tried to help Laika.
Well, I know a hot little singer from Squamish. If you highfoodskibum.com, if you want to connect with me again.
Nice.
It's a magical night to sing.
Nice.
What's the word nice?
A fourth friend who witnessed the accident then ran down the mountain to call for help. So this person saw their three friends just go over a freaking waterfall and die.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, that's going to be up a little bit, right?
So these folks have like 500,000 friends or 500,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Now, a single friend is stopping from doing some stupid shit, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, 5,000 subscribers. Not a single friend in there to say, shouldn't do this.
Yeah, they are known for their posting death-defying videos on their page.
Well, almost. Let's. We gotta like abbreviate that. Almost death-defying video. Yeah.
Indeed.
Damn.
That's a pretty awful way to go.
That is pretty awful. I think the other reason that they passed is because they didn't. They weren't part of High Flute and Ski Bum podcast, because if they were, we were like, fuck up shit, don't do it.
We would have told you don't do that.
Or like, you gotta have other like safety nets or some shit. I don't know. I'm all for like going big or going home, but like, you gotta have a way out of it, man. You just pigeonhole yourself. You gotta like either be like so confident like this shit is locked down, or
same. Yeah. Not good. Not good. Yeah. Well, if they had saved their money and stayed alive, they could have gone to outer space.
Dude,
so Mario, you want to finish this one up?
If you had 9.5 million saved up, you'd be in this luxury space hotel, man. Why wouldn't you? So, Space Race is on, and it's all about the hotels, apparently, right now. So, if you're a billionaire, there's one billionaire, Robert Bigelow, that is hoping to book vacations into space pods. So, we've heard stories about Elon Musk trying to launch people in space, do, like, little low Earth orbit. I think Virgin Galaxy is booking, they've already booked out stuff from 2020 through 25, they're all full up. Like, you got to really like kill somebody, or actually just call up. And like, I'm sure people like die or just like lose their money. Yeah. You know?
Maybe those YouTube stars for some of those people that were on that list already, and you just move out three spots.
Exactly. The bubble people are out. So you just freaking, let me call. Can I take their spot? honestly, what would be even better is just buy their spot, because it's probably harder for money. Nice. But like, I'll give you like $10,000, like buy their spot. Anyway, that's my suggestion. But this Houston technology space startup called Orion Span is working on an Aurora station. And what they're doing, it's a fully modular station that will function as an exclusive hotel. So I don't know, if I had a choice between being on Orion Station or International Space Station or Mars, I'd pick any other over this. Just saying. Unless they give me a deal.
Why is that?
So they're saying a 12-day journey will start at about $9.5 million per person. And actually, you can accept. They will accept Bitcoin, Cash, Ethereum, Litecoin. They will accept any cryptocurrency or regular currency that you have. So
that's pretty awesome. Are they accepting Bitcoin for today's price or for the price when you go up there in 2021? Because I guarantee you, this is not financial advice, but I guarantee you the price of Bitcoin in 2021 is going to be way more significant than it is right now. Let me tell you.
I like your thinking. I'm just thinking.
That'll cost you just 10 Bitcoin then.
Yeah. Just chuck it down right now. Just boom. How you like that now? You might own that space station.
So does this include like food and everything?
It better be all inclusive. For $9.5 million,
they're saying they're going to have lots of windows, a lab for zero gravity research, an area to grow food while in orbit. So I guess, yeah, but imagine they still ding you for food after spending $9.5 million.
I'm going to zip my lips shut, but I'm just saying, if there's a lot of amenities that are not included, I'm really pissed.
What kind of beer are they going to have there?
You better have no beer? What kind of beer. You better project what kind of. Right now, so I'm having my second.
This is like your 15th beer, isn't it?
My 15th beer. So what I'm having now is a pseudo sue. I had this before, and this is freaking awesome, man. This is, dude, you got to have one of these. Top and Goliath. I want to pass it to you through the screen. Like, this is fucking that good. This is a great IPA. I tell you what, I got to say, in the terms of
liquid fax machine,
I got to say, this is about 3 or 4. Top 10. If I had 10 beers to drink in the entire world, this would be number 4.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
4 is not bad. 4 is pretty goddamn solid, I tell you.
4 is solid, yeah.
Because
just out of metals contention.
Yeah, just out of metals, but like, oh. And you know what I love about it? It's freaking the T-Rex on the T-Rex on the label, and it's in purple. You like purple? See, that's what I'm saying.
I love purple. That's pretty respectable.
Purple fabulousness. But anyway, so they better have that shit on that luxury space hotel, because I'll fucking wreck shit. What are you going to do with my wreck stuff? What if I trash my room? What are you going to do? Charge me $9.8 million instead of $9.5 million? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm already in the $9.5 million.
They'll just throw you out the airlock.
Dude, once you have to do a 0.5 on a million, like, you have $1 million fudge factor. That's what I'm saying. You feel like a 0.5, like 0.4, 0.3. We're rounding up to 0.5. I don't know. Just saying.
I think they would throw you out of the airlock.
There's a lot of shit I'm breaking right there.
Now that, I don't know. There's not really any laws up there in space. So, you know.
Pirate law. It's all pirate law.
Yeah.
I just saw The Martian again the other night, because they were running on.
You're going to be like, hey, you can't do that. You're like, where? Yeah, show us the laws. Tell us we can't do this.
Pirate law. You do whatever the fuck you want, man. You
got to be careful up there in space.
What I'm saying.
Quite dangerous.
Rob Bigelow coming for you, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping us from launching a highfalutin space rocket right now.
Oh, I assure you, there's a lot of things stopping us from launching a rocket.
There's nothing other than money stopping us from launching some shit into space.
There's science, there's money,
Oh, no. Without money, we could, like, buy people. See, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think we're still a few bucks short of being able to launch a satellite for the podcast. But, you know.
Here's where my mind's at is... we are very close to getting into space. We're on the precipice of being in space. We could be podcasting from Mars right now.
Like, you're not using the royal we. You're actually talking about, like, you and I.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at
we
that.
Can be in. We could be on Mars right now.
We could be skiing on Mars.
Why are we not on Mars right now? Showing Instagram pictures of us skiing on Mars, going like, "Suck it, bitches! I got nobody else here." Like,
that could be like a really cool like Instagram handle we have, like skiing on Mars. Just like Photoshop, like put like an orange filter on all of our ski pictures.
Oh, I like where you're going with that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Best part is nobody's even like listen to the end of this podcast to figure out that this is what we're gonna do.
That's what you think. That's what you think.
Elon Musk is like, "Oh, I heard you guys. This is what I was gonna do." I'll call you out, Elon. Where are we at, Elon? Are you on Mars? Yeah, you're not.
He could be.
Way to go. Way to go, Elon. We're gonna drive the car.
Well, I guess on that note, that wraps up the old podcast this week. So thank you so much for listening. Please check us out, skibonepodcast.com. Send us an email, skibonepodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on socials, twitter.com/skibonepodcast, facebook.com/skibonepodcast, instagram.com/skibonepodcast. We are on Pinterest as Highfalutins and on SoundCloud as Highfalutin-Skibomb. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Say hi. Stay falutin.
See ya.